Plenty of politics on today's Air Talk because, of course, we're just a couple weeks away from the California primary, as well as the very important Nevada caucuses, the majority of which are being convened this Saturday. We'll, by the way, have special NPR coverage for you Saturday afternoon, right here on 89.3 KPECC. But it's the Denkman Report with KPECC politics reporter Libby Denkman to lead us through a number of local races. Libby, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Quite a debate last night, wasn't it?
You know what? Did they have ice bags ready for everybody afterwards, especially Michael Bloomberg? Oh, my goodness.
That was a wild night. So we don't have anything comparable in the LA City Council race to that, but we do have three seats that are being contested.
Yeah, you know, there's several seats that I would like to talk about today. Some of them, whether they're contested or not, is sort of up for question. But the first one is CD12, the council district in the North San Fernando Valley area. That includes like Porter Ranch, Granada Hills, Chatsworth, Northridge is in there. John Lee is defending his very short-lived tenure as the CD12 council member after he won that special election in August. So it's just been about 6 months, and now he's up for election again, facing the same opponent from the runoff in August, which is Lorraine Lundquist, who's a scientist and an instructor at Cal State Northridge. So Lee is part of this long dynasty of chiefs of staff of former council members there.
He worked for the last two, didn't he? Englander and Greg Smith?
He did. He was in Greg Smith's staff. He was Englander's chief of staff. Interestingly, it goes back to Hal Bernson, who, then had Greg Smith as a chief of staff who succeeded him. And then Englander was Greg Smith's chief of staff, and it kept going and going. Englander resigned in order to go and work for Tim Leiweke's Oak View Group, I believe it's called. It's like a sports lobbying firm. So that was a surprise when Englander decided to step down. John Lee was able to hold out and win in that special
election. Very low turnout.
And that's the thing that I think is going to be different this time around, Larry. It's a presidential race year. Lorraine Lundquist is a progressive Democrat. She's somebody who talks about climate change quite a bit. John Lee did, interestingly, get the endorsements from his colleagues, Nuri Martinez and Herb Wesson, both supporting John Lee. But, you know, I think once these members get to the council, there's a collegial atmosphere. Lee also registered as a no-party preference voter instead of a Republican, which he was during the last election cycle. So that's going to also help him, I think. It's a nonpartisan race. There aren't going to be R's and D's next to these candidates' names. But when you look at the turnout, that's going to be looking at Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. It's just a different look than it was in the special election. So I think potentially a different outcome here, but definitely the most contested race in this CD field.
All right. That's LA City Council District 12. I'm trying to remember. It was Hal Bernson who was the was he the councilman who was there so long?
You know, a lot of them were there before the term limits were introduced in the early 2000s.
He was there parts of like three or four decades, because I think he was 79 to 2003. So Hal Bernson lived in that office for a long time.
Well, I was just looking at the council member who was in the CD4 seat, the fourth district seat, John Ferraro, of from 1966 to 2001.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of having a council member for that long, I know you covered him for many years.
I grew up with him and then covered him. Yeah.
You know, somebody who, is with you your entire life and really becomes a power broker in the city. It's a different look now, of course. And speaking of that district, that's CD4, that's the other, I think, district that has a potential for being competitive, at least going to a runoff. Obviously, all these races could be over if a candidate gets more than 50% in this primary on March 3rd. But that's Council District 4 is where David Rue is trying to run for re-election. He's got a couple of well-organized and somewhat well-funded challengers. Nithya Raman is one of them. She's the co-founder of the homelessness nonprofit Sela, and she's the former director of Time's Up Entertainment. She also has some high-profile celebrities putting things on social media endorsing her. And then Sarah Kate Levy, who is a writer and very politically active in the city. She works on women's political issues. There's also a writing candidate who's making some waves, Susan Collins, who's a realtor. I moderated a panel with these candidates over the weekend. Homelessness, I don't think will be a surprise, was the top issue that really comes up here. And Nithya Raman and Sarah Kate Levy are really hitting David Rue on not treating homelessness as much of a emergency and a human crisis that they feel it needs to be treated as.
Did they have specific proposals of what they think Rue should be pushing for?
Yeah, you know, Sarah Kate Levy in the past had pushed for safe parking programs, and David Rue actually just recently backed a proposal for safe parking in CD4. So potentially a race like this is going to move a candidate, an incumbent, to adopt some of the policies of their opponents.
So this means people could sleep in their vehicles overnight?
Yes, exactly. And have, you know, things like bathrooms and hygiene stations. Nithya Raman, being somebody who's worked in that homelessness sector for a long time, has more specifics, and those include, you know, increasing the number of service centers in LA and making it easier for homeless people to reach basic services. She says that when she started this nonprofit, she realized that even when you have, you know, advocates backing somebody that comes into their center, you know, as homeless, it can be really difficult to get them into regular services, be it addiction recovery, any kind of housing. And she says that there just needs to be more points of contact. And then, of course, all candidates agree that there need to be more housing. But development is a big issue in this district.
Well, yeah, I was going to
say
residents are very concerned in this district. It's been very contentious about increasing density.
Absolutely. You know, every candidate up on that stage, interestingly, said that they had issues with SB 50, the bill, Anthony Weiner bill that Scott Weiner, not Anthony Weiner. Very different Weiner. We are talking about the SB 50 bill that would have increased density near transit. And when that was brought up again, it garnered extremely strong pushback from Los Angeles and especially from neighborhood groups who didn't want to give up local control. And even though all of these candidates in CD4 support the development of more supportive housing, they had issues with SB 50 and would have liked to see changes to that bill before it was implemented.
Well, it's going to be exciting to see what happens and if that heads to a runoff in City Council District 4 coming up. We'll talk about District 14 in Northeast Los Angeles. We'll also talk about Bernie Sanders and his visit through Southern California tomorrow, Santa Ana and Bakersfield. Michael Bloomberg putting a lot of eggs in the California basket. And we'll also talk about the start of voting at those vote centers. First time we've seen them in LA and Orange counties. You're listening to the Denkman Report on Air Talk. Back with more with Libby in 1 minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. We're talking about the LA City Council races, where we've got several highly contested seats in this California primary election. Libby Denkman, KPCC politics reporter, is with me. We're going to talk about a couple of other seats here. District 14, Northeast Los Angeles, where Jose Huizar was termed out. Kevin De Leon, the former state Senate president pro tem, who'd run for senator. He's running here. Monica Garcia, for more than a decade on the LA School District Board. There are other candidates who are also running. And then we also have Mark Ridley Thomas, termed out as a county supervisor, running for a city council district that's part of what's his supervisorial district.
Yeah, I think that these races are interesting because of the common theme that's developing here, which is that Jose Huizar being gone and having that open seat and having the open seat in Herb Wesson's district is leaving this opportunity for two big heavyweights, Kevin De Leon and Mark Ridley Thomas, to step up and say, okay, we're going to join the council. But all politicos in the city and everyone watching this are assuming that their next move, if they are elected, is to run for mayor in 2022 when Eric Garcetti's term is up. And, you know, at the forums that I've been to, this question just comes up again and again. Folks asking De Leon and Mark Ridley Thomas to make some kind of commitment to serve out the 4 years if they are elected. And De Leon has, you know, kind of interestingly said, you know, I will serve this district for 4 years. But when, you know, he's asked to sort of promise
that's very
to serve
artful.
Out his term.
You can tell he's an experienced politician.
You know, and you can really see that. I mean, in the CD14 especially, you have some interesting women candidates. You mentioned Monica Garcia with the LAUSD board. But Cindy Otteson, who is on a neighborhood group in Eagle Rock, the neighborhood council there. She's also the founder of a refugee nonprofit. She has really impressed and gained some local group endorsements. Also, Raquel Zamora, who is a social worker and a former teacher. She, her family owns restaurants in the East LA area. And these two women are really, you know, impressive when you watch them on stage with Kevin De Leon and Monica Garcia, who, you know, on paper would be the more established.
Well, they're the name recognition candidates.
Exactly.
Well, no, these districts are so big, it's a huge challenge to overcome if you don't have that, and you're running against someone who does have it.
And the expectation is that De Leon will certainly make at least the runoff, Mark Ridley Thomas as well. Winning outright might be difficult, so there may be a runoff, and there may be a candidate that gives these two, again, just really well-known, well-funded, backed candidates a run for their money. In November, but the likelihood is that we're seeing a preview of, you know, one, a grassroots former outsider, Latino political and social leader in De Leon, who then went to Sacramento and became, you know, very established. Another, Mark Ridley Thomas, who, you know, has been on the council and then became a supervisor, just a really powerfully, aligned person in especially the African-American community in L.A. And what an interesting race that would be for mayor down the line.
I was surprised that Mark could even run again for the council.
He was too.
Because I assumed that he had spent all of his time in, you know, as a councilman and wouldn't be able to do it again. But I guess because there was some time left in that, in the term, he was able to run again.
You know, I tried to find the details of why he's able to, and there was some change in the format of term limits that allowed him to. And it's funny, he talked at a forum, an economic forum, about how he was surprised he could run for another term on the council. He had assumed he would step down, you know, serve out his supervisorial term, and then take that time between that end of that term and the mayoral race to kind of just ramp up, you know, and focus on mayor. He said that at this forum. He's since kind of walked that back and said, you know, a lot of this was theoretical. And again, he's running in Herb Wesson's district. Funny to see the seat swap dynamic between Herb Wesson
running.
Herb
is going for the supervisor.
The second supervisorial district.
And there's some strong competition there.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very interesting dynamic. Again, something that folks assume is setting up a very competitive mayoral race.
KPCC politics reporter Libby Denkman with me now. Tomorrow, you're going to have a very busy day, right? Because are you out chasing Bernie Sanders around tomorrow?
I am. You know, Bernie Sanders is going to be at a few events in Santa Ana tomorrow. He is sweeping through Southern California all the way up to Bakersfield in the afternoon. I'm hoping to get a chance to talk with Bernie one-on-one.
That'd
and,
be great.
You know, it just shows the importance of California. You know, there was a Monmouth University poll just released this morning, right before your show, Larry, that showed the race in California slightly tighter than the PPIC poll from earlier this week that had Sanders with a really commanding over 30% lead in California. The Monmouth poll, although it's a smaller sample size, has a more about with a quarter of likely voters, and Joe Biden, you know, closer on his heels with about 17%.
Everybody else, a lot closer.
Yeah, everybody else hovering between 10 and 12%. 5%. Bloomberg actually cracking up to 13, a lot closer. But again, it's a smaller sample size than what PPIC was bringing. But they were both conducted at the same time. So potentially showing that this race is still very
volatile, fluid.
Yeah. And when you talk about what that means for delegates in California, you know, statewide delegates and in California, they're allocated on the congressional district level as well. You have to crack that 15% threshold. So if Sanders is alone in cracking 15%, he may leave with a motherload of delegates after Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday, of course, in total, with all the states, a third of the total delegates at stake. And Libby, the vote centers open this weekend, right?
That's
the longer run vote centers, so you can get an early start.
In OC and LA.
All right.